Wonderful. Just turn to the person next to you and just tell him, I'm so glad that you're here. Let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, God. And thank you that your word is like a light in our hearts, God. Your word says it's a light for our feet. It's a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. And God, we pray this morning that your word will be, that it will give us light this morning. That it will give us understanding, God, that it will show us your ways. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. Guys, I want to talk to you this morning about when things or when life don't make sense. You know, when things don't make sense. I don't know if you were ever in a situation that, you know, it's just life doesn't make sense. Or there's situations that doesn't make sense. And how do we make sense of situations that looks like there's no sense in it? Now, what's so special to me of so many of the Psalms is the honesty of the writers. You know, if you see David's Psalms and Psalms of the other guys, is that these guys, they speak and they say how they feel. They speak their emotions. You know, when David is down, he writes it down in the psalm. He says, you know, death was all over me. You know, he's so brutally honest. David and the writers say what they see. They say what they observe. You know, if you go into Psalms, your heart must be strong, you know, because the writers of Psalms don't keep back. They don't hold back. They are very, very honest. And this morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts from Psalm 73. And the writer of Psalm 73 is a person with the name of Asaph. Is that correct? Asaph. Okay. And this guy, Asaph, you remember when David, when he was anointed king and when he came into the office of being king. Because when Samuel came and anointed David. There was, I think, was it a 12-year or a 14-year period before he went on the throne. But when David became king, the first thing he did was to go and collect the Ark of the Lord that was lost in the days of Eli. David was a worshiper by heart. You know, it was so important to David that the Ark of the Lord was brought back to Jerusalem. And when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, he appointed three leaders to be the praise and worship leaders. It was Asaph and the guy with the name of Yeman, and another guy name was Yedutun. But they were prophetic people. It says here in 1 Chronicles 25, it says he separate some of the sons of Asaph and Yeman and of Yedutun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. So David got prophetic people to lead the praise and the worship as the ark of the Lord was returning. So David's heart was that God would be praised and worshiped. And you know, when they brought back the ark, they made a special tent. All the people could see the ark of the covenant. It was the symbol of God's presence, and there was praise and worship all morning, all afternoon, all evening. The people came and they worshiped God. You know, in the time of Eli, God's presence was lost. And when David came, he restored the presence of God into his house. And it is so important, you know, that when we come to a meeting like this, you know, we as priests, We carry the presence of God. We bring the presence of God. And as everyone comes in, you know, that corporate anointing just grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And as we engage and as we lift up the name of Jesus, that corporate anointing just became stronger and stronger. So this Asaph guy, Asaph, in Psalm 73, he says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. So he starts on a very, very positive note. He's making a declaration of faith. He says, God is good to Israel. Okay. So that's a declaration of faith. And guys, I just believe that God wants you and me not to doubt it. God don't want us to question it. He wants you and me to believe it. He wants me and you to trust in him that he is good. God is good to Israel. That means God is good to me. God is good to Israel. And then he says, to those whose hearts are pure. So he says that you and I will experience God's goodness when our hearts are pure. And you know, it is so important. So he says, you know, God is not only good, but God is good to those whose hearts are pure. So my heart, or a pure heart, is the key to experience God's goodness. Okay? So my heart is so important. It is when I keep my heart pure that I will experience his goodness, because God is good. The Bible says he is good. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart more than anything else, because it is by my heart that I experience God's goodness. It is my heart that Matthew 5 says, blessed are those whose hearts are pure, because they will see God. You know, if your heart is contaminated, I won't be able to see God. I won't see God in my wife. I won't see God in my children. I won't see God in the grass. I won't see him in nature. You know, I won't see him in other people. But when my heart is pure, I will experience him. I will see him, because he's not far away. He's close to us. He's with us. He says, guard your heart more than anything else. The one thing that you and I must guard is our hearts. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. He starts with the heart. Loving him is a heart thing. And then comes the mind. And then comes my strength. He says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Life flows from our heart. Our hearts determine how we see. Our hearts determine our vision, how we see people, how we see situations. If my heart is contaminated, you know, I can't see the way that God wants me to see. But if my heart is pure, I will see him working in every situation. I will see him in people's lives. I will see him in my boss's life, you know. I will see him all over, you know. But the moment that we focus on the wicked, you know, and when we focus on situations, and when we focus on trouble, we can so easily lose our stand with God. You know, we know God is good, but when we look at the world, and when we look at situations, and we look what is going on in our country, and we look what is going on in the world, we can lose our stand. You know, we can so easily fall. We can start to question God. We can start to wonder, is God really good? If you look at the whole refugee situation, you know, and if you look at the great, great need that there is, and then you can think, but where's God? Why is he not helping this people? When you look at situations, you can quickly, you know, wonder, is God's word true? Is it true what God is saying in this book? So Asaph is writing about this. Psalm 73, verse 2 and verse 3, he says, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. So he starts off this psalm. He says, God is good. And if your heart is pure, you will experience it in a great way. But he said, you know what? I almost missed it. I'm so glad this guy is honest. You know, the people in the Bible, you know, they're so honest. You know, and when the Bible writes about people's lives, they write everything about that person. You know, how he was like David, you know. Everything about David is there. I'm so glad my name is not David. You know? Because, you know, the Bible just says everything. Now what influenced Asaph? What influenced this writer? What influenced him is what he saw. Verse 3, I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. You know, what he saw determined what happened in his heart. And what did he do? He became jealous. Okay? He became jealous. He said, I envied them. You know, and one of the things that we must guard is our heart. We must guard our hearts so that we don't become jealous, or that we don't, you know, carry envy in our hearts. Or when we see the unrighteousness in the world, we can so, you know, become angry, you know, about what is happening. And we must guard our hearts. And now, I'm just going to read this next few verses for you about what was going on in his heart. So he said, you know, the wicked people... he says, I saw them prosper. And now he goes on, he says, they seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everything else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words, listening to what they are saying. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? The writer is asking. Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. You see, so he is speaking what he is experiencing. He's speaking what he is seeing. And he says, you know what? The wicked, they've got the life of ease. They just increase their riches all the time. They don't have trouble. Their life is a life of ease. He says, but me, you know, I took all trouble to keep my heart clean. Where does he say it? He says, I keep all this trouble. Oh, here it is, verse 30. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? He says, I get trouble. You know, there's all kinds of trouble in my life. But these people, they just go forward, you know. It seemed like they don't have trouble. It seemed like, you know, everything is just going for them. So he is speaking from his heart. He's just speaking what he's seeing. I think he's speaking his frustration. God, I'm serving you. Why am I struggling? But those people that don't serve you, it's like, you know, life is a breeze for them. They just go on with it. And then he realized, verse 15, this writer, it says, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. He said, well, I can't speak like this. This is what I think, but I can't speak like this. You know, in other words, speaking like this is like betraying God and his people. He says, God, I cannot betray you. I cannot betray your principles of righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness will work peace. Okay, and righteousness and peace will work joy in the Holy Spirit. So let me throw you a few principles. This morning I thought it good to say it is spirit principles. So I'll give you four or five spirit principles. The first spirit principle is speaking what you see is betraying God and His people. You know what? What we see is not always all that is to it. There's much more to it. Okay? The Bible says we live by faith and not by what we see. We need to live by faith. Speaking what you see is to question God. Okay? So everything is not like it looks like. What you speak reveals your heart. Are you with me? What comes out of the mouth comes from my heart. So words are like spirit agents. Words, you know, they reveal what is going on in your heart. I remember last year somewhere, we were at dinner, the family, and I was speaking to my wife, and then the little one said, "Papa, but you cannot talk to mommy like that." I said, "Oh, something wrong here." The little one, she exposed me. "Hey, something is wrong. You can't speak to my mommy like that." So, you know, words are spirit agents. They reveal what is going on in our spirit. They reveal what is going on in our heart. Now, in verse 16, this writer says, you know, "But when I tried to understand this, it was too difficult for me." He was trying to understand, you know, all these issues, the trafficking issue, you know, the issue with drugs. I don't know what's the issue for you, but, you know, he says, "I tried to understand it, but it was too difficult for me." He says, I couldn't understand it. Because God is good. That's where he started off this song. He says, God is good, especially to those who have a pure heart. It's especially those whose hearts are pure that experience His goodness. So the second principle I want to give you, spirit principle number two, is you don't receive perspective by looking at the trouble or at the situation. You know, the trouble won't give you an answer. The situation won't give you an answer. Just looking it at face value, you won't get an answer from that. In verse 17, he says, "Then I went into your sanctuary." Say with me, sanctuary. He says, "I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood." Doiki, 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 understood therein. So he said, when I went into the sanctuary, that's when the light fell. When I went into the sanctuary, I could see the whole principle of the whole situation. Spirit principle number three, God reveals Himself in the sanctuary. It's when we go into the sanctuary that God gives us answers. Now, what is the sanctuary? It's not the church. So many people say, "Hey, come into our sanctuary." No, no. The sanctuary, Psalm 91 says, it is the secret place. It is the place where I meet with God. You know, if I don't have answers, I need to go and meet with God. I need to get alone and say, "God, here I am. Now this time is for you and me." What is the sanctuary? It is a place where I honor God. It is a place where I worship Him. It is a place where I recognize Him as Lord. So it's a place where I come to worship. You know, it's a place where I come and say, "God, you are God. I'm your servant. And I'm here to follow you. I'm here to obey you. I'm here at your disposal." You know, it's a place where I worship Him. It's a place where I declare His lordship over my life. You know, somewhere, I think it's in Mark, Jesus said to His disciples, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I ask of you?" You see, when I say that Jesus is Lord, I declare His supreme authority in my life. And in the secret place, in the sanctuary, you know, when I come in, one of the things that I do is to declare His Lordship over my life. Say, you are Lord. You are supreme authority. And I bow before You as the supreme authority in my life. In the sanctuary, God reveals Himself to us. You know, when we declare His Lordship, you know, what happens is that He will start to speak with us. So many times, we want to hear God speaking to us. But, you know, it's like we've asked the same question to 20, 30, 40, 50 people. Sometimes, we just want to hear His opinion. And God's not interested in giving His opinion. Are you with me? He wants to share His heart. He wants to reveal who He is. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked His disciples, he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father who is in heaven." You see, the church is built upon the revelation from heaven. Peter had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. And we need revelation. Otherwise, we are just building the church on soulish thoughts and soulish ideas. But it's not from God. We need revelation from heaven. In the sanctuary, God speaks to us. Not only He reveals Himself, He speaks to us. He gives us His perspective. You know, so many times I ask God, I say, "God, give me an eagle eye view. Give me Your view on this situation. Because I've got my perspective. And I know my perspective is not the full picture." And Isaiah 40 says, you know, they will soar like eagles, those that wait upon the Lord. And you know what? My time in the sanctuary is a good place to soar up like an eagle. And also what God does in the sanctuary is that He reveals our hearts to us. Spirit principle number 4. In the sanctuary, He will reveal to you your heart. You know what? I written here, you cannot come close and do not realize that you fall short. You cannot come close and not realize that you fall short. That was the first thing. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord on His throne, you know, the first thing that he said, "Dis klaar, praat met my." What did he say? "Woe unto me. You know, I'm finished. Because I'm a man of unclean hands and unclean lips." Like when Yaku shared Psalm 24 just now. He said, what we need? Clean hearts, clean hands to come into His presence. So God wants to show us His heart. You know, and not only that, does He want to show us His heart, He revealed to us our hearts, how far we are coming short. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "We have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God." Sin is to miss the mark. What is the mark? The mark is His glory. Every time we sin, we miss something of His glory. And God wants to give us His glory. So God reveals His heart into us. Now this writer goes on in verse 20, 21 to 22. It says, "When my heart was filled with bitterness and my mind was seized with envy, I was stupid and I did not understand. I was like a dumb animal in Your presence." So guys, what I think what he's doing here is revealing unto us what brings impurity into our hearts. And he's speaking about two things here. Bitterness. He says, when my heart was filled with bitterness and my mind was seized with envy. So he's talking about those two things. Bitterness and envy. Envy is like jealousy. Is that right? Okay. So bitterness and envy, bitterness and jealousy will short-circuit God's revelation to you. It will short-circuit your ability to hear from God. It will short-circuit the fact that He is a good God. So the things that we need out of our lives is bitterness and jealousy. Spiritual principle number 5, bitterness and envy will blind your spiritual senses. You know, if there's bitterness in your life, if there's bitterness in my life, if there's envy in my heart, God won't work in my life. When that little girl, and I'm exposing myself this morning, but when she said, Papa, you can't sit with my mama praat nie. Daddy, you can't speak to mommy like that, you know. It was a revelation of what is going on in my heart. And the Bible says, you know, if something between me and my wife is not right, in 1 Peter it says, don't go and pray, you're wasting your time. Het jy dit al gelees? Have you written that? Because God is a God of unity. God is a God of unity. God works where there is unity. That's when He taught His disciple, when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, the first word is our. So unity is so important for God. You know, Jesus also said, if 2 or 3 of you agree in what they're praying, God will work for them. Have you read that in the Bible? He says, if you two or three agree, you will have it. So guys, God works on a principle of unity. There was, in Acts 2, there were disciples, 120 disciples. They were praying, and they were praying, and they were praying, and they were praying. And, you know, and then happened, Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit came. But the first verse of Acts chapter 2 says, when they were all together in one place, in one accord, when there was unity, God moved by His Spirit. So it's so important that we have unity, that we have unity in our marriages. God is a God of unity. God loves unity. Where there's unity, the Word says He commands a blessing. So when there's unity, God will bless. You know, the one thing that you need to fight in your marriage is for unity. The one thing that we need to fight in our churches is unity. The one thing that we need to fight in our small groups is unity. Because when there's unity, God can bless you. But when there's no unity, it's like we're missing God. You know, it's like God is like disappearing. He's not there anymore. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, let's work on unity. Let's work on our unity in our marriages. Let's work on our unity in the church. Let's work on our unity in our small groups. Unity, I don't know about God, I'm going to get the hiding on this, but my understanding of unity is that we all hear the same thing, we all think the same thing, we all speak the same thing, we all do the same thing. Because that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. You know, they all put their radios to a certain frequency, and in the Cape, if you put it on 94.5, what will you hear? Or is it a different frequency? You see, the better radio keys. Was Radio Tygerberg. So if we tune into the same frequency, we will hear the same thing. Okay, you can ride in your car at the airport, and I can ride my car in Paul, but we will hear the same thing. And that's what God wants us to tune in to, the same frequency. Unity is hearing the same thing, speaking the same thing, doing the same thing. You know, the way we do it can differ, but we are there to do it in His name. Okay, bitterness and envy, it will make us foolish, it will make us ignorant, because God's heart is unity. This writer says it make you like a dumb. I was like a dumb animal in your presence. Other translation says, I treated you as a wild animal would. Sounds to me like a bull in a china shop. Is it bitterness and envy, you know. I couldn't see the precious stuff. When there's bitterness, when there's jealousy in my heart, you know, I can't see what is precious to God. And I want to come down for a close. I want to bring this thing down in verse 23 to 25. You can go and read the whole psalm. But this writer says, yet I'm always with you. He says, God, your presence is so important to me. You are always with me. You hold on to my right hand. Isn't that good? You know, it takes me by the hand. 24, with your advice, you guide me. He guides me with his advice. And in the end, you will take me to glory. So God says, you know, when he advises us, it will lead to glory. If God said, take that job, I don't want to take that job. God says, this is my job for you. I don't think it's my job, God. If you follow his advice, it says it will lead to glory. And then he says, 25, as long as I have you, I don't need anyone else in heaven or on earth. And I just want to encourage you guys, stay close with God. Stay close with him. And what you do, make sure that you are close to him. Make sure that you live in unity with your marriage partner. Make sure that you live in unity with your family. Make sure that you live in unity with your church family. Make sure that we are together in unity. Okay. He upholds us with strength. He upholds us with his power and his spirit. And it's all about him. The last scripture I want to share with you is Psalm 77, verse 13. Also, a psalm by Asaph. He says, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. It's in the sanctuary that God reveals himself. It is in the sanctuary that we discover his heart. It is in the sanctuary that he speaks to us. And I believe that part of that sanctuary is, you know, the condition of our heart. If we can keep this thing clean, and if we can keep this thing right, you know, like the apostles and the guys, the 120 guys that were in the upper room, you know, they prayed. But, you know, their prayer led to something. It led to unity. And when they were in unity, God's Spirit could start moving in their midst. God had freedom to move. God had freedom to do what his desire was. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you that we can just open up your word and just see how the writer of Psalm 73 just worked through his frustration, worked through what he saw on the outside. But then he brings it back to the sanctuary. He brings it back to our hearts, God. And how important is our hearts that it will be clean, that it will be pure, so that you can speak to us, so that you can reveal yourself in us. And we just thank you, God. We just thank you for a place where we can really get to know you. We thank you for a place where we are safe. Thank you that the secret place is a safe place. And thank you, God, for a place where we can get, where we can know what you are saying, that we can understand firsthand what you want. And we just want to thank you for that, God. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that there is life in your word. I just sense, as God spoke to us about that thing about jealousy and bitterness and envy, I think maybe we must just check our hearts. Say, God, just help me with that thing. Maybe there is bitterness in your heart. Maybe there is jealousy. Maybe there is envy. And if you want, if it's your heart that God must help you to get rid of it, won't you just put up your hand to Him? Say, God, please help me with this. I'm just going to pray for you where you are. Just help me with this one, God. I see that hand. Is there another people? Another people who wants to be part of this? Just going to pray for you. I see that hand. Another hand. I see those hands coming up. Okay. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray for you, Father. Thank you that, Jesus, that unity is so, so important to us, to you. Unity is so important to you. And God, I just pray for everyone who has put up his hand. I pray, God, that they will find grace to forgive. Pray that they will find grace with you because you give grace, God. If they decide to forgive, God, you give them grace. You give them the strength. You give them the ability to set people free. And if you need just to speak forgiveness in this moment, just do it. Just move with the grace that is available right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And if there's envy and jealousy in your heart, just ask God. Say, God, just help me. Just help me not to look at other people and be filled with jealousy. I want to look at you, God. Help me not to lose perspective, but to look at you, because you are my strength. You are the one that gives me life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. Yes. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your work in our hearts. And thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can praise you. Thank you that we can adore you. Thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that you are light. Thank you that there is no darkness in you, God. And thank you, God, that the closer we come, the brighter the light shines. And the more we see what is going on. And thank you for the privilege just to cleanse ourselves, to come closer. We worship you. And we thank you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just want us to stand. I'm just going to end off with a song. But just respond to this word. I know some of you have put up your hands for that bitterness and envy. We're just going to take another moment. Maybe you want to pray with someone. Trust God for a breakthrough in a specific area of your life. We will be in front. But let's just respond. In that special place in the sanctuary, that's where we get perspective. That's where we hear from the Lord again. Thank you, Gerard, for this word. So guys, let's just... Yeah, maybe you're just aware of something that you must just let go. Where you've lost perspective or something that you struggle with, to see something that you've allowed to come. Like Gerard shared, that we know what's causing our hearts not to be pure. We know what's going on there. We know where there's unforgiveness or a bitterness or something that's doing something where we can't connect with the Lord anymore, or we can't have that ability to see anymore. And I'm just thinking now that some people that have hurt us in the past, we've lost the ability to see what God wants to do in their lives. We've lost the ability, we might have lost the ability to see beauty that God has placed inside of them. Let's just use this time now to allow the Lord just to start doing something in our heart again and to heal us.